Welcome to the Caltech Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltech Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight in the Caltech Theatre, you will hear an adaptation of the powerful Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer motion picture, The Valley of Decision, a drama of love and hate set against a backdrop of the vast steel industry in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 80 years ago. Starring in The Valley of Decision, you will hear Rosemary Webster, your producer, Cressick Jenkinson. The Caltech Theatre presents The Valley of Decision, Act One.
Go on, blow your cursed mill whistle. All you cursed Scots up there on the hill, blow the thing so that all of Pittsburgh can hear it, and curse you for the sound of it as much as I curse your name. You, William Scott, and all your sons, curse you for the devils that you are.
Pop, darling, the kettle.
What?
The kettle here whistling its head off. Now, couldn't you have moved it from the flame?
The whistle in the Scots mill is the only whistle I hear. Day in and day out, I hear the thing when the shifts are changed. And as God is me witness, there's no sound in all this world that I hate more.
I'll make you some tea.
Tea? Oh, Mary, Mary, it's not tea I want. It's my legs, daughter, my legs. Oh, dear Father in heaven, a man's not a man unless he can move about and unless he can work.
Now, don't take on again, so, Pop.
Take on? Oh, what am I, a cripple in a wheelchair, a wreck of a man when I should be enjoying the prime part of my life, and nothing, not worth a cent to a soul.
You're worth a lot to me, and well you should know it.
And nothing. And that mill's responsible for it. That mill and the Scots who own it.
Oh, you're sounding like one of the melodramas in the theatre. And a body does get tired of hearing the same unreasonable complaint month after month.
Unreasonable? My own daughter, and you call me unreasonable.
Yes, you are. Oh, Pop, darling, I'm sorry. I know what a terrible thing it is for you, but honestly, Pop, you do make it so much harder for yourself.
Yeah.
And for me, too.
And
yes, that's true. And as for cursing the Scots and their mill, well, it's just not fair. Mr. Scott has been so good to you. You should be so grateful to him. You walked into a big wheel up there at the mill. You weren't taking care. And seeing Mr. Scott's paid you full wages every week since the accident happened.
Oh, sure, sure, I walked into a wheel, and why not? The sweat in my eyes in the 12th hour, and Scott tossing a bit of charity towards me, then forgetting all about everything.
Oh, Pop, really?
Well, by the holy saints, he won't forget about it. Not when we get our union.
Pop, everyone's sick and tired of hearing about this great union you're going to have. No work and a whole lot of money.
And let me...
This is 1873. Time's moving on. And you should be thinking about getting some enjoyment out of the rest of your life.
When we get our union, everything will be a whole lot different.
Oh, here's your tea. Yeah. I'll go to my room and change, and then I'll see about getting something to eat.
What are you all dressed up for, anyway?
You know I've been out.
I know you got back home 5 or so minutes ago, but you don't usually get dressed up like this to do the shopping. Now, where have you been?
Well, if you must know, I've been up to the house of your arch-enemy, William Scott.
You what?
And there's no use blowing off steam about it, Pop. I'd made up my mind, and I had to do it. I've done it.
You...
I'm going to work for Mr. Scott as a maid.
Mary!
Mr. Scott's good enough to pay your wages, but every family can always do with a little more money. And apart from that, Mrs. Scott is a very charming lady, and I'll be very happy working for them.
Would you want to kill me, girl?
It's only you who'll kill yourself if you continue to let hate eat your soul away. You'd better get used to the idea, Pop, because it's here to stay.
Oh,
now, stop being so silly and...
Am I welcome?
Why, Jim. Why, yes, of course you are. Come in.
How are you feeling, Pat?
Oh, he's in his usual bad humor.
Well, Jim Finnan, it's a fine day you picked to come calling on Mary Rafferty here.
Oh? Well, to tell you the truth, I mainly came to call on you, you old devil. Here, I brought you a fine bottle of imported ale.
Well, I'm obliged to you, Jim, because I know you had to walk 3 miles to get it.
Oh, I never mind walking.
And there's another thing. You can't get a glass of beer within 3 miles of the Scott Mills.
Oh, here, give it to me. I'll cool the bottle for you.
Jim, what would you say if I told you she was going to work for old man Scott, eh? A maid in the house of Scott, no less.
Well, I work for old man Scott myself.
Yeah. There's a curse of Cromwell in every cent of the Scots millions. I'll have none of it. Now out of my way. I'm going to wheel myself outside where I don't have to listen to your infernal chatter about the infernal Scots.
Oh, to hear him rave, you'd think old man Scott was the devil himself.
Ah, thank you.
Poor Pat. Mary, if you can get a job at the Scots house, you take it. And I tell you what, I'll come here to board if you like. I could use your room. I presume you'll be living in up there.
Yes.
Well, then, I'll rent your room, and that'll mean a bit more money for you.
Oh, Jim. Why, thank you, my dear friend. I'm very grateful.
They'll be missing you around here, Mary.
Who will?
Well, everyone who knows you.
Oh, sure, and it's not Africa I'm going to. Just the hill. That beautiful big house on the hill. How do you do, sir? I'm Mary, sir. Mary Rafferty. I was told to wait here till the lady... till Mrs. Scott was ready for me. I'm coming to work here, sir. As a maid.
Oh, I see. Well,
Paul, is it you down there?
Connie!
Paul, darling! Mother, everyone, it's Paul. He's here. He's home again. Oh, welcome back, Paul. Mm. Oh, you look wonderful.
No more so than you do, sister mine. Oh, it's great to see you, Connie.
Well, you must tell me everything. Oh, how I'd love to have been there in London with you. I adore London so much. Did you meet lots of important people? Well, did you meet any dukes or anything? Oh, what I'd give to be a duchess. Well, did you meet any?
You don't meet dukes in steel mills, even in England.
Oh, well, never mind. You can tell me who you met later when we talk.
Paul!
Hello, Mother!
Oh, doesn't he look magnificent, Mother? I'm sure he's grown even more. Paul, you're huge, like a Greek god or something.
Paul, darling.
Oh, you have no idea how marvelous it is to be back home again, Mother.
Oh, we've all missed you so much.
Well, that's good to hear. When you wrote me that Brother Willie was engaged to be married, I just had to get the first boat. And how's Dad?
He's been to Washington to see President Grant. What do you think of that?
Well...
Yes, he got back this morning. He'd be so delighted to see you.
And who is it Willie's marrying, for heaven's sake?
Her name's Julia Gaylord. She comes from Boston. Willie met her through being at Harvard. Her father's Carnegie's lawyer, and her mother wears sable.
Oh, Connie.
She sounds quite a catch. And Brother Ted, how's he?
Oh, well, you know Ted. Never changes much. Oh, dear me. You're coming home has excited everything else out of my mind. Connie, dear, you take Paul upstairs while I talk to the young lady over here.
Oh, yes, all right. Now, you can start telling me everything, Paul. Every single thing I want to hear.
Well, is she forward just like looking
at you? You're Mary Rafferty, of course.
Yes, ma'am.
Forgive me for keeping you waiting like this, but my son's arrival.
Oh, I know how happy you must be, ma'am.
Oh, yes. However, sit down, my dear. The nuns at the parochial school have said some very nice things about you, Mary.
Oh, did they now?
That's nice. I understand you so very well.
Oh, yes, indeed, ma'am. Anything with Anita. I made this dress myself.
It's charming. Well, now, Dee Dee will find you a uniform. We have guests coming for dinner tonight.
Tonight, ma'am?
Do you know how to serve? Oh,
only what they taught us at school, ma'am.
Well, you won't find it any trouble, I'm sure.
I hope not, ma'am.
Oh, don't be frightened, Mary. A little mistake won't bring the walls down.
A little mistake, ma'am.
Even a whopper. Come along. Get yourself settled in.
Now, the fish course fork here, and, blessed Virgin guide me, the salad fork here, then this one's for the roast, yes, and here goes.
Oh, here you are.
Pardon, miss?
I said, here you are.
Oh, yes, miss.
I rang for you.
Did you know, Miss Constance? Didn't anyone tell you that looking after me and my clothes is your main duty?
I do believe Delia said something to the effect that she'd always be asking for a lot of attention.
Well, it's not good to get off to a bad start with me, you know.
Fear that's no start I'll be off to if I don't get this table properly arranged.
The water glass at the point of the dinner knife. Mary?
Yes, Miss Constance?
I'd like you to button the back of my dress.
I do believe you could reach the buttons yourself if you tried.
Oh, please, Mary. Oh, I'm hopeless at buttoning. I always put the wrong button in the wrong buttonhole. Please be an angel and do it for me.
Well, I suppose when you ask like that.
Here, turn around.
Oh, you are a dear. Hooray for the Irish.
You know, Mother says you might be the Irish answer to good Presbyterian prayers.
That's nice.
I've never been in Ireland. Daddy was born there, of course, and came over on one of the emigrant boats when he was a young man. But I've never seen the place. Is it true or just a fable about pigs in the parlor?
Oh, we only have them in at night, Miss Constance. You sing them to sleep, and never a grunt out of them until the morning.
You're awfully sure of yourself for calling just off steerage.
Oh, I didn't come steerage, miss. I'll tell you how I got here. Would you believe it? One night in Ireland I went strolling, and I stepped into a fairy ring, unbeknownst. And all at once I'm surrounded by the little people, the mischievous ones. And suddenly in the midst of it all, the leprechauns raised me up and whisked me away over the clouds and out across the ocean. And here I am, in the castle of my dreams.
And there you are, Buttons.
Thank you, Mary. And let me tell you something. I think you're very sweet and I'm awfully glad you're here. I'm sure you and I are going to be the very best of friends.
I think so, too. Now, be off with you and let me finish my work. Or you'll never eat tonight. And that'd be too great a tragedy for a soul to bear, wouldn't it?
I'm rarely moved to make speeches at the dinner table, Mr. Scott. Particularly when the meal is an excellent one, such as we're enjoying now. My sincerest compliments, Mrs. Scott.
Your appreciation is a deal of compliment, Mr. Gaylord.
But in view of what has just been said, I feel moved to say this. America is fighting its way 3,000 miles across the continent. Huntington cuts an iron trail through the Rockies. Carnegie visions an empire of steel from our own Mother Earth. That's poetry, sir.
Yes, Huntington may be poetry, but Carnegie, I think we can mention in plain English.
He's a dreamer of great dreams, Mr. Scott.
Oh, man, that wide awake doesn't do much dreaming, Mr. Gaylord.
Oh, you're being very literal, Paul.
Am I, Louise?
I think Mr. Gaylord is speaking figuratively.
No, I'm not, Miss Kane.
Perhaps I should say at this point that Mr. Gaylord has come here tonight to find out why I don't throw our mills into the Carnegie dream.
Dad, I...
Yes, your father's right, Paul. My crowd will never understand why you won't come in with us, Mr. Scott.
Well, there are a number of reasons, Mr. Gaylord. One of them, my sons. Our mill is as much their business and life as it is mine. But there's something more. Something I learned from my father, and I hope to teach it to my boys. Big fish eat little fish, and I'm a little fish.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, I am, compared to Carnegie. But at least I own my own puddle, and that's where I'm going to stay.
But if it's security you want...
But it's just not a question of security, Mr. Gaylord. We... Oh, I beg your pardon, sir.
That's quite all right, Paul. Go on, son.
Well, I don't think any of us have ever tried to put into words before, but... Well, you see, Grandfather scratched the Scott Mills to life with nothing much more than his bare hands. Steals as much a part of us as the blood in our veins.
There you are, you see, Mr. Gaylord. My sons are my partners. It's their mill, too. And with God's help, it will be here for their sons. And that, I think, brings the subject of the mill's future to a neat and tidy end. Mr. Gaylord was rather put out of dinner last night, Paul. He was hoping so much that we'd come in with him. However, I know the answers we gave him were the right ones, so that's that. But this is where I'd like to see you, Paul. In the mill with me. Going off to England is all very well, but it does my heart so much good to have you home again. Oh, but I told you all that yesterday, didn't I? I won't bore you with it again. I must say, Louise Kane seems very glad to have you back here again, too.
Louise? Yes. I must admit she made quite a fuss of me last night.
What do you think of her?
What do I think of her? What I've always thought, I suppose. You know her since childhood, living across the road from us all these years. Well, she's a pleasant friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you trying to do to me, Dad? Back home such a short time, and you are trying to rush me into marriage.
Good heavens, no such thing. It just occurred to me to ask what you thought of her. Well, and how does this mill look to you, huh?
Oh, fine, Dad. Grand and wonderful as it always does.
Ever see anything like it in England?
Nothing that means half so much. But I can see it all so much greater than it is even now.
Yeah, this is leading up once more to that open hearth idea you mentioned, eh?
Yes.
You really think well of it.
Yes, I do, Dad. This one I saw in Germany. We haven't anything like it in this country. It's going to revolutionize steel making in this country. Absolutely revolutionize. Oh, let's call it a night now, Jim. Won't help matters staying here any longer.
No. I'm frozen through and haven't a wit left in me head.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue building our open hearth tomorrow, eh?
On Sunday?
Oh.
Oh, all right. If it's going to break your heart to rest today, I'll forget the Sabbath.
Well, it's your furnace too, Jim. You'll have to run the brute.
Paul, can you come down to my place now?
Well, I suppose so. Sure.
I've something to show you. It's a model I've been pottering with.
The open hearth?
Uh-huh. A few changes I've worked out that might be of some use.
Well, I'd be glad to see them. Where do you live?
At Pat Rafferty's. I moved in when Mary left.
Pat Rafferty's? Oh, haven't you forgotten my name, Scott?
Oh, yes, I did overlook that.
I was asking Mary about her father just the other day, and she said he now blows up worse than ever when the name Scott is mentioned.
Yes. Well, I'd be bringing it to your place, but it's that big... Look, I tell you what, though. Pat'll be off to church at 10 o'clock in the morning. You can come down then, and we can tell be the bells when church is out. You can leave before he gets home.
Well, a man shouldn't break the Sabbath, I know, but... Still, I'll be there.
Oh, you're right, of course, Paul. It will take all of a year to build... Is something else worrying you?
Oh, no, Jim. It's just... Well, it's like a flu in a fireplace. You never know whether it's going to work till you light the fire. Uh-oh, someone at the door.
Oh, it's Pat. Mary with him. Church over? But I didn't hear any bells.
I didn't know we were to have company today, Jim.
Pat, I'll ask you to bid my guest welcome in your house. This is Mr. Paul Scott.
Mr. Rafferty. Poor Mary.
Hello, Mr. Paul.
There's only one place a Scot's welcome with all the heart of Pat Rafferty, and that's 6 foot down, with his soul 1,000 miles below that.
Pop.
Oh, that's pretty definite, Mr. Rafferty, but why?
Because he's a blethering jackass, that's why.
Blether, says you.
Do you see these legs of mine? At the 12th hour one day, when I'm dizzy with the heat and the sweat, I lost the use of them. And the Scots will be everlasting cracking the whip over slaves 12 hours a day.
Hop, you don't know what you're saying.
Get out of here, the both of you. And tell the rest of that pack of yours, the only reason I didn't kick you out of here, Mr. Paul Scott, was because they robbed me of the tools to do it with.
Oh, Pat Rafferty, have you gone out of your mind?
No. It's all right, Jim. It's my fault. I shouldn't have come here. I'm sorry, Mary. Very sorry. Bye.
Mr. Paul! Oh, could you? Oh, Pop, how could you?
Go on. Go back to bending the knee to the man that crippled your father.
I'm not ashamed of my job. It's like the Blessed Virgin is in a house of folks where there's no hating and cursing. In the catechism it says, honor thy father. But I... Oh.
Go on. Get out and good riddance. Go on. Good riddance, you hear?
Mr. Paul. Mr. Paul, please.
Here now, Mary.
Oh, Mr. Paul. I can't think what to say.
Well, you don't have to say anything. He's a tough old boy, your dad.
It's the pains in his legs that changed him. He doesn't...
I know, Mary. Things can fester in the mind just as they do in the body. Only worse.
I'm so distressed, sir.
Oh, here now. You don't want people to think I've been beating you, do you? Here, come on. You take my arm and come with me. I know just the place to make you calm down and smile again. Come on. Feeling better now?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Paul. I'm sorry.
Not another word of sorrow. Now, look, Mary. You can see all of Pittsburgh from up here, but Pittsburgh can't see you.
It's very impressive, sir.
Shall I tell you a secret, Mary?
If you like, sir.
My father's just as stubborn as yours.
Oh, is he now, sir?
Like a mule.
Ah, but you can talk to your father. Reasonable life. I mean, you don't have to be afraid of him.
You're not afraid of yours, are you?
Sometimes, sir. Yes, sometimes I am. When he has the madness on him.
Well, you try not to be afraid of him anymore.
Yes, sir.
You can see the mill?
Yes, sir. It's a giant of a human thing, isn't it? It has a heart and soul, and they're gone if you try to make anything else of it.
Now, where did you hear that?
On my first night at the house, sir. When Mr. Gaylord and Miss Kane were guests for dinner.
Eavesdropping, eh?
Overhearing, they call it.
Fancy you remembering my words like that.
Oh, I remember most things I hear, sir.
Yes, I imagine you do.
Well, I...
Mary.
Yes, sir?
You know all of us at home are very fond of you, don't you?
It's lucky I am that you all like me, sir. And the liking's returned. I mean, your mother and father, bless them, they've been so kind to me.
Mary, what would you say if I told you that one member of the family is even more fond of you than the others? What he feels for you goes beyond fondness.
We must be getting back, sir.
But, Mary, I'm...
Please. We must leave here and go back straight away.
All right, Mary. What I have to say can keep. We'll go back now.
What am I doing walking up to the front door with you like this? I wasn't thinking. Oh, if anyone saw me, Mr. Paul. Oh, dear, excuse me. I'll be on the way to the back door, sir.
Well, hello.
Good afternoon, Miss King. Excuse me, please. I've been visiting your mother, Paul. I was just leaving.
Yeah, so I see.
And you? What have you been doing? Standing on the front step, flirting with the help on Sunday?
That's right, Louise. I'm getting nowhere fast. Nice to have seen you, Louise. Goodbye.
Mr.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, The Valley of Decision.
If you care for your car, fill up with the gasoline designed to take better care of your car's performance. If you're already a confirmed Caltex man, you'll know what we mean. If you're not, fill up with Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline and see what a performance difference there is. Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline gives faster starts, smoother acceleration, and more economical running. The gasoline designed for today's faster pace, Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline, takes better care of your car's performance. Drive in for Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline at the sign of the Caltex Star, where we take better care of your car.
The Caltex Theater now presents Rosemary Webster in The Valley of Decision, Act Two.
Now what?
Oh, Mary.
And where might you be going, Miss Constance?
Shh, don't wake Mother.
Is it a sort of emergency that's taking you out of the house at this hour?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It really is. Oh, Mary, he's such a handsome emergency.
Is he now? Then why all the tiptoeing?
Well, you see, he's older and the family wouldn't like him. And I promised I'd meet him right after the band concert. And that's certainly respectable, isn't it? You won't tell on me, will you, Mary?
There isn't going to be anything to tell. Won't you step back into your bedroom so that I may see you safely to bed?
I'd like to know what business this is of yours.
Well, you told me yourself when I first came here some time ago that looking after you was my main duty. Ah, Connie, darling. Anyone that's good enough for you to go out gallivanting with is good enough to meet your family. Come on now.
Oh, but this is the real thing, Mary. It's love.
Oh, sure it is. It's been love a dozen times in the past 6 months. Now into bed with you. Your cape, please.
Mary, you give me back my cape. Now, if you do as I say, or I'll get very angry.
Then you'd better get a move on, for I'm beating you to it.
Oh, Mary.
No. Into bed.
Oh.
Not in your dress, if you don't mind. Oh. Change into your night attire.
You just don't care what happens to me at all.
That's the trouble, Connie, darling. I think I care probably just a little too much. Good night.
Mary.
Oh, Miss Scott. I thought you were in bed and fast asleep, ma'am. Is anything wrong?
Not now.
Pardon, ma'am?
I heard most of the conversation took place between you and Connie a moment ago. Sound carries so much in this part of the house.
Oh.
And I want to say how grateful I am to you, Mary. One day, Connie will be too.
Well, you know how it is, ma'am. When we're young and the reins seem a little tight, why, that's when we try to bolt. Many's the time I felt that way myself.
You're a wise girl, Mary.
Oh, I don't know so much at times, ma'am.
Oh, yes, you are. Mary, I've just had an idea. I think you'd better come to Boston with us for Willie's wedding. Would you like that?
Boston? For the wedding? Oh, ma'am, I'd love it.
Going there by train and coming back by boat by way of New York.
Oh, it sounds wonderful, ma'am. Oh, thank you, thank you. I don't think I've ever felt so excited about anything in my whole life.
Just luck that I happened to be passing.
Well, I think it's perfectly extraordinary to think that you've come all the way from England and I've come all the way from Pittsburgh to meet at the same wedding. And now we find each other again on this funny little boat in the middle of Long Island Sound.
Miss Constance.
Oh, Mary, I didn't hear you coming along. I want you to meet my friend, the Earl of Moulton. My dearest friend, Miss Rafferty.
How do you do, Miss Rafferty?
How do you do, sir?
I'm terribly sorry, Lord Moulton.
I'm awfully afraid Miss Rafferty is very, very angry with me at the moment. I know she is because she called me Miss Constance. When she loves me, she calls me Connie.
It's high time you were in bed.
Oh, well, all right. If I don't see you in the morning, Lord Moulton, you can always find me in Pittsburgh. Good night.
Good night, Miss Scott. Miss Rafferty?
Good night, sir.
Into your stateroom, miss.
Now, Mary, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Out there on deck wearing your nighty, talking to that man.
Mary, I was all perfectly respectable. Well, the way I was standing, he couldn't see anything but my head and arms.
Oh. And besides, he's an earl. And when his father dies, he's going to be a marquis. And that's just one step lower than a duke. And he's got his shooting box in Scotland. Oh, and I think he's perfectly beautiful. And I always did want to be a countess and live in a palace and know all the wicked people in Europe.
Into bed with you.
Oh, that's exactly where I was going. There. Good night, Mary. I hope you have pleasant dreams. I know I will.
Good evening, Mary. Am I allowed in the kitchen?
Well, come in, Mr. Paul. I've been more or less expecting you.
Oh?
Sit down there and I'll get you something to eat. Oh, it's only cold meat and salad, I'm afraid. But I had to prepare something that would keep till you were ready for it. I heard you were working late at the mill again. I thought I'd better wait up to make sure you had a decent meal, not a piece of bread and cheese such as you've been getting for yourself these last few nights. Go on now. Eat.
What would I do without you, Mary? Thanks.
How are things going with the big new furnace now? Is everything all right at last?
Why, sure, why not, Mary? It's just duck soup. All you have to do is have a big, wide-open pot, put anything you like into it, set fire to it, cook it, and presto, a magic stew. Mary, the stew's a mess.
You look tired, Paul Scott. No wonder, of course. Your bed hasn't been touched for at least 2 nights.
Maybe I should have gone to bed and stayed there. It could just be that Brother Willie's right.
What about?
Another waste of money, a waste of time. That just won't work, Mary. It just simply won't work.
Oh. Do you mind the story of an Irishman named Bruce?
An Irishman named Bruce?
Yes, indeed. Him hiding in a cave, licked entirely and all despairing. Just sitting there, watching a spider in a corner trying to make its web. Well, the spider kept swinging and missing and swinging and missing, and couldn't make ends meet at all. But he never stopped trying. And finally, he made it. Mr. Bruce, he gave a big hurroo, and he burst out of his cave and raised the devil entirely.
In Scotland, Mary, they think that Bruce was a Scotsman.
Oh, who cares what they think in Scotland? And now, you tell me, how could your big stew be in a mess and you the best steel man in all Pittsburgh?
Did my father say that too?
No, he did not. Jim Brennan said it.
Oh? And when did he say that?
Down at my father's house last Sunday when I saw him.
You didn't have a day off Sunday, Mary. You were here all day.
Well,
God bless you for saying it. And I won't quit, Mary. That I promise you.
I know that.
Give me your hand.
No.
Please. Don't hold yourself away from me anymore. And such beautiful hands. So soft and warm. Mary, I'm going to tell you something. If I do make it there at the mill, unless I can come home and find you and talk to you about it, it won't mean very much. Oh, oh. Mary, don't cry about it, for heaven's sake. There isn't anything in this world that means as much to me as the way I feel about you. I see you flitting through the house, taking care of us, but always at a distance. And here's where you belong. With me. Hand in hand with me.
No.
You love me, Mary. You know you do.
And if I love the ground you walked on, there's nothing can come of it.
Oh, marry me, Mary, darling. Tell me you'll marry me.
Paul, I'm a servant in this house.
This family's good to me. Do you want to see me make them a laughing stock? And people to call me scheming, conniving, no good? Yes. Yes, I love you. Of course I love you, but... I wish I was dead.
Mary!
Mary. What's wrong, dear? Why these tears?
I have to believe in you, Mrs. Scott.
What?
Yes, I do. And that's why I'm crying. I don't want to, but I have to. It's my father, you see. He's getting worse every day. I have to go down there to look after him. Oh, there's the doorbell.
There's someone at the front door, Clarissa.
Yes, William. Mary was just going to answer it. We'll talk about this other matter later, shall we, dear? When we're both a little more composed.
Very well, ma'am.
It's probably Connie at the door, William. Forgotten her key again. She's not in yet.
Oh. Hello, Mary.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh.
Good evening, Mother. Father. I'm glad you're down here. I have something to tell you. May I introduce the Earl of Moulton, my mother and father?
Honored, ma'am. Your servant, sir.
Oh, how do you do?
The Earl, Giles is my husband.
I beg your pardon?
Connie.
Oh, there's no point in making a fuss. We were married just a short time ago. Here's the marriage certificate.
I realize, of course, what a great shock this is for you, but you see, I'm sailing for England tomorrow night. My father is very ill, and there are affairs I have to take over. I love your daughter dearly. She's made me very happy by becoming my wife. I shall always love and cherish her.
He will. Just as I shall always love him. Oh, please, Mother. Daddy, darling, please say you understand and wish us well.
Well, yes, this is a shock, a great shock. However, if you both are quite sure this is what you want, the shock shouldn't keep me from wishing you well. And I do.
Oh, Daddy.
Yes, Connie. Oh, yes, darling.
Thank you, Mother. Oh, thank you, both of you, so much.
You'll never have cause to worry about us, sir. I'm grateful you understand so readily.
Mary, where's Mary? Oh, there you are. Come here. You wish us well, too, don't you?
Well, I feel rather embarrassed, having done so much in the past to keep you apart. But looking at the two of you now, yes, I can see just how much love you have for each other. And I wish you every happiness in the world.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Oh, and darling, I have the most wonderful surprise for you. Oh, that is, if you and Mother and Daddy are agreeable. Mary, Giles and I want you to come to England with us.
Oh,
yes, we do. Please say you'll come. Oh, we'll have the most marvelous times together, Mary. Tell me now, say you will come.
Mary, the train will be leaving soon.
Yes, ma'am.
There's something I must say to you before you go. First of all, I'm going to miss you. But you'll be so good for Connie over there. Oh, but that's not the main thing. Mary, I know why you're leaving. I've known for some time just how much you and Paul love each other.
Oh.
Life can sometimes be hard for some of us. Very hard. But you're being very brave and sensible about your particular hardship. You know much better than Paul just how it would be if you married. If things were different, I'd have given anything in the world for you to marry him, but...
You don't have to say any more about it, Mom. I've been through all this in my own mind.
Perhaps later. Times and ideas change, perhaps. Oh, I don't know. Conventions and so on. I wish to heaven there was some way conventions didn't have to be so cruel. Oh, you'll have to get aboard now, Mary dear. God bless you. We both pray that over the next year or so, things may change very much for the better.
I doubt that, ma'am. I doubt that very much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
There we are. I think that finishes your dress off nicely.
Oh, Mary, it's so elegant.
So it should be. I've nothing else to do nowadays but sew.
Hold still now, hold still.
What are you looking at? Anything special?
Oh, the view. America hasn't anything to match this view.
Now has it? I remember a spot where the Monongahela meets the Ohio. Red with the flames of the mills at night. You can see all of Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh can't see you.
Why, Mary, you're homesick.
Aren't you?
2 years and I haven't been homesick a day.
Oh, well. Oh, I see who that is.
Yes, Jenny.
What is it?
It's a telegraph message, Mary. For you.
What?
All the way from America. It just came.
From America? Oh, thank you for bringing it up, Jenny.
Oh, that's all right.
What is it, Mary? A telegram?
For me? Well, open it. To this Mary Rafferty, care of the Countess of Moulton, Oakvale Manor.
Never mind about that. What's the message?
Oh, please return to Pittsburgh at once. And it's signed, William Scott.
Mary, Mary, my dear.
Mr. Scott, oh, how nice to see you again, sir. But I've been so worried. That telegram message, what's wrong?
Wrong? No, no, there's nothing wrong.
Oh, then why
did... How nice you look, Mary. How very sweet.
Thank you, sir. But, Mr. Scott, I don't understand. Why did you not want me back here in such a hurry?
Well, perhaps to make your dreams come true, child.
I don't know what you mean, sir.
It seems I've not been fully aware of everything that's been happening about me. Ever since you went away, my wife has been... preoccupied is about the best way I can put it. Finally, just a short time ago, I managed to get out of her exactly what was worrying her. She told me all about you and Paul.
Oh.
Mary, I didn't realize. And to think you went all the way over to England so you could be away from Paul. And... Well, anyway, you're back here now. That's the most important thing. And although Paul will say this a lot better than I nevertheless want to say it myself. I'm asking you, Mary, my dear, if you will do this old man the honor of marrying his son.
Oh, Mr. Scott, but do you realize...
I realize everything. Who do you suppose our grandmothers were? Countesses like Constance? Aristocrats like Julia Gaylord? Oh, they were fine, wholesome stock like yourself. And my dear girl, I want you to marry Paul with all my heart.
I do.
The reason Paul isn't here at the station to welcome you home is, well, the mill is dead. The strike, you see. But it's all practically settled. He's with Jim Brennan now, making all the arrangements.
Mary! Oh, Mary, darling.
Paul.
Oh, thank heaven you're back. Dad told me he'd sent a telegram, but I thought you mightn't come. Well, I thought... Well, thousands of different things, but now you're really back with us.
Oh, Paul, my head's in such a whirl.
Paul, I don't want to throw any cold water on your greeting, Mary, but why are you down here? I thought...
Well, apart from wanting to see Mary again, I had to find you, Dad. Willie's done the most senseless and most terrible thing. I just found out he's hired a huge band of tough strikebreakers.
What?
Yes, I tried to reason with him, but he wouldn't listen to me. I told him he couldn't bring in thugs. That they'd be breaking the skulls of people we've worked with all our lives. But all he had to say to that was, whose skull are you worried about? William Scott's or Patrick Rafferty's?
Is my father...
I'm sorry, Mary, but yes. I'm afraid your father is being difficult. He seems to have elected himself as major spokesman for the strikers.
Oh, no.
Mary, in all honesty, we're ready to grant reasonable concessions. Now, that's all we ask these men to be, reasonable. But your father...
I know. Oh, that's one word he just doesn't understand.
Mr. Scott, you get away from here. The strikers are coming here for you.
What do you mean?
Matt Rafferty found out you and Mr. Paul were here. Jim Brennan tried to stop them, but Pat Rafferty urged them on.
Dad, do as he says. Go on, get away.
And let them think I'm afraid of them? Oh, no.
They're coming now.
But Mary... Paul, take Mary away from this.
No, sir. I'm staying. It may seem a terrible thing to say in one way, but I trust the word of the Scots far more than I could ever trust anything said by my father.
Mary...
I mean it. If you say you're ready to grant reasonable concessions, I believe you. I know you're trying to do the right thing, so I ally myself with you.
But you... All right, men. Hold it here.
Be careful of him, Dad.
A word with you, William Scott. I... Mary, what... To...
Oh, Pop, what is this foolishness? What are you doing down here with all these men?
What are you doing back here?
I came back to marry Paul, Pop.
I see.
But that's not the main issue at present. Pop, Mr. Scott says he's ready to grant all reasonable requests, and he...
There they are. Get them. Willie!
Heaven, no. No, Willie. Take those thugs away.
You and Paul have been trying to break this strike for weeks with Pop, and Pop just hadn't worked, Dad. There's only one way to get things back to normal. This way.
Willie, I order you...
Go get them!
Insane. Sheer insanity.
All right, Scott. If this is the way you want it, if you want blood spilt, let yours be the first.
No, Pop! Don't shoot! You fool! You fool! Paul, I'd like to speak to you, please.
What is it, Louise?
When I married you, Paul, I believe I made it quite clear that I didn't want any son I might have to go anywhere near the Scott Mill, right?
I took Paulie up to the mill today because he wanted to go. He had a grand time.
I do not want him to go there again. Do you understand?
But Louise...
For years now, I've loathed that mill. And I don't want him to be tainted by it.
Tainted?
I still haven't forgotten those riots that happened some years back. I haven't forgotten that Rafferty woman's father shot and killed your father when the fighting broke out. I'll never forget all the bloodshed, misery, and horror of that time, and the same thing could happen again sometime. I will not have my son associated with anything like that, as he will have to be associated if you make him too interested in that mill.
Louise, it is up to Paulie to be interested or disinterested in the mill, as he pleases.
And it is up to you.
Oh, Louise.
Perhaps if you had married that Rafferty woman.
Well, I wish I'd been able to make her marry me.
A fine thing to say to your wife.
You brought up the subject, and now we're on it, I'll say a few words about it. Yes, I begged her to marry me. But she wouldn't because her father had killed mine, and all this time I've been married to you, I...
What is it? What?
Mary. Mary, what are you doing here?
Hello, Paul. Mrs. Scott.
How dare you come in here?
I'm sorry to disturb you. I'll be leaving again in a moment. I came here at the urgent request of your mother, Paul. I knew she wasn't well, of course. And when she sent for me, I came straight over. I've been sitting upstairs with her for the last hour.
I didn't know you were in the house, Mary. Why didn't someone tell me?
Because I asked them not to. I'd have left without seeing you, too, but I thought I should. I asked the doctor to let me tell you. Paul, your mother passed away a few minutes ago.
Mother?
I'm deeply sorry. She was a fine, good woman. Deeply sorry.
A fine way to learn about your mother's death, isn't it? From her.
I leave you now, Paul. Of course, you'll want to go upstairs. You'll think she could walk in here as bold as...
Louise, shut up. Get out of my sight. Hello, Mary.
Why, Paul.
May I come in?
Why, yes. Yes, of course. Please do.
I just wanted you to know how grateful I was that you came to Mother's funeral.
Oh, yes.
She loved you so very much, you know.
Yes, I know. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. A lot of things have happened since the funeral 2 weeks ago.
Oh?
One thing, well, you'll hear from the lawyers about it, of course, but I wanted to tell you first. Mother left her entire interest in the mill to you.
Oh.
Which I wholeheartedly approve. I bought Willie and Ted out, so now the mill is shared by you, Connie, and me, and I feel it's much better that way.
I don't know what to say.
That means you're a very wealthy woman now. You can have anything you want.
Yes, perhaps.
And Louise has left me. We'll be divorced.
What? Oh, Paul.
No. Don't feel sorry for me about that. I'm glad she's gone. She's taken off to Europe to live as she wants to for the rest of her life. Now, I've settled a large sum of money on her, so she'll never want the material things.
But your son...
Paulie stays with me. He's a good boy, Mary. The best. I know you and he would get on wonderfully together. That is, if you could look at things now the way I'm looking at them. Well, as I wish you'd looked at them a long time ago. Mary, darling. Mary, I love you. I need you. I always have and I always will. I'm afraid you broke my heart once when you refused to marry me after that strike business, but please don't break it a second time now. The past is dead and gone, and never any fault of ours. For the future, Mary, we can make a magnificent future together. If only you'll agree to it. Please consider it. Give me the answer I want to hear soon. You must marry me.
Oh, Paul.
No, Mary, no tears. This isn't any time for tears. I'll tell you what. Why don't you come up to the house with me now? We could pack a hamper and go for a picnic. You, Paulie, and me. You and Paulie could sort of get to know each other properly, huh? What do you say?
Oh, give me just one moment to put on my coat.
So ends our Caltech's play, The Valley of Decision. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltech Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltech's play, Cressick Jenkinson.
Thank you. The Valley of Decision was presented tonight by courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Proprietary Limited and adapted for radio by John Crane. In the starring role you heard...
I played Mary Rafferty.
This was Rosemary Webster. The supporting cast was as follows. Paul Scott, Don Pascoe. Connie, Moya O'Sullivan. Mr. Scott, Gordon Glenwright. Jim Brennan, Hal Lashwood. Pat Rafferty, Stuart Ginn. Mrs. Scott, Sheila Sewell. Louise, Marcia Hathaway. Gaylord, Wayne Polson. And Giles, the Earl of Moulton, Walter Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkinson. Next week in the Caltech Theatre, you will hear the delightfully whimsical story of a brilliant but woefully bad-tempered man whose tantrums made life a misery for his family until his Irish housekeeper, a lady of equally uncertain temper, hit on a weird but highly successful way of keeping him quiet. Be listening for this clever comedy, Toad in the Hole, next week. Now this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltech Oil, marketers of Caltech Super Gasoline and Caltech Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.